There we are. That's where we left off a couple of weeks ago. Giant hairy spider. Remember that? Giant hairy spider. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about gentleness. And we want to learn how to be gentle, because if you're not gentle, sometimes you get bit. So we learned that, because if you were to hold a giant hairy spider in your hands, you'd want to be very, very gentle with that spider. And we learned this proverb. In Proverbs 15:1, it says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And that applies to our relationships as well. And sometimes we need to learn to be gentle, not so just that we can keep from getting bit, but because sometimes we're the ones who do the biting. And so we want to learn how to be gentle. We want to learn how to be gentle and care for those around us. So we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. And if you remember, that was about the way that we talk to and the way that we treat other people in our lives. But today I want to turn around and I want to ask us this question. How do you respond when someone talks to you? How do you respond, especially, and our topic this morning is correction, the biblical topic of corrections. How do you respond when someone corrects you? How well do you deal with correction in your life? How well do you deal with getting advice in your life? How well do you deal with it when somebody points out a flaw or a character flaw in your own life? Now, I was having a little conversation with Karina's son, Kane, and he said, Chris, make sure if you're going to show him the spider, you should talk to them about the scorpions too. Because we were talking about scorpions, and so I'll show you one of those. There we go. There's a scorpion. Is that not the creature on the earth that looks the most like the devil? They are so awful. Ugh. They creep me right out. That right there is an emperor scorpion. It's among the largest scorpions on earth. They can get up to 9 inches long. They're really, really big. Have a look at this. Yeah, I'm not kidding you. Emperor scorpion. It's not the biggest scorpion on earth. There's one in India, kind of rarer. There's one in India that gets even bigger than that. There's been one measured at 80 centimeters long. Yeah, we don't need to worry. So here's the thing about scorpions. I want you to notice. Do you see those huge big pinchers on the front of that? Now, the thing that they'll tell you about scorpions, emperor scorpions, people keep as pets, because the sting of the emperor scorpion feels about like a bee sting. It'll hurt, but it's about like a bee sting. The big pedipalps, right, the pincers, okay, those things, the scorpion relies on those more than its stinger. And it's got big ones, and it crushes its prey more than it relies on the sting to kill its prey. And so people keep these things as pets. They're relatively docile. They're not very aggressive. And their sting is about like a bee sting. So you wouldn't want to get stung, but it's not the worst thing in the world. It's not going to kill you. Far from kill you. So keep in mind the proportion of the tail to the pincers. And here's the rule of thumb that I'm told about scorpions is if you've got big pincers in comparison to a relatively narrow tail, don't have to worry about it. But if you've got little tiny pincers and a big fat tail, now that one will kill you. Those are the ones you got to worry about. And they're not that big. They're not that big. That right there, that's called a fat tail scorpion. There's another one that lives in Israel called the Death Stalker Scorpion. And it's so appropriately named. And so here's the thing to bear in mind when you think about these. It's the little things that you don't pay attention to in life that can sometimes sting you the worst. Unless you're willing to take correction. So people respond to correction in different ways. And the Bible tells us that it makes a huge difference. How you respond to correction in life makes a big difference in how much you get stung in life. So I want to read to you some verses from Proverbs chapter 1. If you want to turn your Bibles, you can. Proverbs chapter 1. And then in a little bit, I've got Elijah is going to be ready to come up and do some reading in a little bit. I'll call you when I'm ready. And then Jordan is also going to come up and do some reading in a little bit when I'm ready for that. I'll call you guys up at the right time. But if you guys want to turn to your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 1 and verses 20 to 29. And it's interesting because it talks about wisdom. Wisdom is trying to get your attention. And it's kind of talking about wisdom as if it's a person, as if it's a woman who's trying to get people's attention and keep them from getting stung in life. And so wisdom isn't just a woman. Wisdom is an idea. But in this proverb, it compares wisdom to a lady. And here's what it says about her. It says, wisdom, well, let's just call her Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom shouts in the streets. She cries out in the public square. She calls to the crowds along the main street, to those gathered in front of the city gate. And here's what she says. She says, how long, you simpletons, will you insist on being simple-minded? How long will you mockers relish your mocking? How long will you fools hate knowledge? Come and listen to my counsel. I'll share my heart with you and make you wise. And she goes on, I called you so often, but you wouldn't come. I reached out to you. Lady Wisdom is saying, I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. You ignored my advice and rejected the correction I offered. So I'll laugh when you're in trouble. I will mock you when disaster overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster engulfs you like a cyclone, and anguish and distress overwhelm you, when they cry for help, I will not answer. Though they anxiously search for me, they will not find me. For they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. Let's pray that God helps us understand his word this morning. Lord, all of wisdom comes from you. And here, wisdom has been personified as a lady calling out in the streets so that everyone has access to it. You want your wisdom to be known to all of us. And so thank you for that, Lord, because that means you want us to gain your wisdom right here and now this morning. We want to come to you, Lord, with open ears and open hearts. We want to come to you with open minds so that we would think differently because of the way you show us your truth. That we would respond differently because we trust you and know that you love us, and end up feeling differently as we live a very different quality of life by your word as opposed to just by our own desires. Lord, we need your help to understand these things. So please come by your Holy Spirit and speak to our hearts and minds today. We are your servants and we're listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Wisdom is trying to get your attention. Grown-ups, kids, wisdom is trying to speak to you. And there's three kinds of bad responses that are described in this passage. I'm going to go back to it because Lady Wisdom, she talks about simpletons, mockers, and fools. Simpletons, mockers, and fools. What are those things? I'm just going to give you some basic understanding of what those words mean. A simpleton is somebody who just ignores good advice. They get a piece of advice. They get some correction. Somebody says, no, 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 what you're doing is going to hurt you. It's going to be wrong. So they try to steer you in a different way. And simpletons just ignore it. Yeah, whatever. Mockers go a little further. Mockers not only ignore good advice and correction when it comes to them, mockers laugh at good advice, and they actually make fun of what's right. And you might notice, have you ever seen that sometimes when people are told what will be good for them and they don't want to do it, they'll find a way to laugh at it and put it down and say, that's just so stupid. You know, you're such a prude. You're so backwards. Right? That's what mockers do. They laugh it off and they actually make fun of what's right so they can keep doing what's wrong. And then there's fools. And fools are that word in the Old Testament. Fools mean rebellious people who basically say, no one can tell me what to do. You're not the boss of me. I'm living life my way. That's a fool. And the Proverbs talk about fools and the trouble that they get into over and over and over and over. Fools bring so much trouble. Fools get stung. Fools get stung because they don't listen. They just say, you can't tell me what to do. You ever notice anybody like that? Have you ever been a simpleton, a mocker, or a fool? Because I've been all three of those things in my life. Okay? What happens? Well, here's what Lady Wisdom says. She says, look, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, storms don't happen quickly. They brew for a while. They're on their way for a long time. You know? In other words, what she's trying to say is bad things, when you ignore good advice, bad things might not happen right now. But when they do finally show up on your doorstep, they happen so quick. And there's people that, it's heartbreaking, but I've heard stories. And I've sometimes lived through it myself. Incidents where I don't listen to good advice or somebody else doesn't listen to good advice. They don't take correction when it comes. And it looks like everything's okay. It's just going along just fine. And then one day, something comes along that you just didn't even see coming. And because you didn't listen, you're not ready for it. Because you didn't listen, you're set up to get stung. Bad things don't happen right away, but they happen quick when people ignore correction. And here's what it says in Proverbs 19:25. If you punish a mocker, that person who makes fun, if you punish a mocker, the simple-minded will learn a lesson. But if you correct the wise, they'll be all the wiser. Do you see the difference? There's some people who will only learn because life beats them up, because they get stung enough times that the simple-minded finally learn a lesson. But a wise person, all you got to do is correct them. And they just keep getting wiser. So which one do you want to be? That's the question. Do you want to learn from correction? Or do you want to learn from punishment? Because you're going to learn from one or the other. Do you want to learn by being corrected? Or do you want to learn by getting beat up by life? Can you take direction? Or do you have to get stung? Taking correction will save you. Taking correction saved a whole bunch of people. It was calculated that it was about 20,000 people that were potentially saved by one guy being willing to take correction. Let me show you this picture. Here we are. That's the Citicorp building. It was originally called the Citicorp building. Now it's the city center, City Financial Center. There, that's the building. That's the building at night. And here's the base of the building. It's kind of looks like it's built on stilts. Isn't that interesting? Huge building built on stilts, right in the middle of Manhattan, New York City. Okay, it's an amazing structure. And it was designed to withstand hurricanes. It was built to withstand hurricanes, to take massive hurricane force winds. But they only calculated, there was some mistakes made, and mistakes made by the architect, and then some mistakes made also by the builders. They cut some corners when they were building it and thought everything would be okay, because they only calculated winds hitting that building from one side, flat on one face. They didn't consider what's called quartering winds, which means a wind that would hit it on a corner and put pressure on two sides of the building on at once. That's in New York City. What happened was, within the first year of that building being built, there was an architecture class in a university in New Jersey, and a university student was given the assignment of studying that. And he did the math on it. And this university student didn't know what to do because his math told him the building will fall down if there's a hurricane in New York. And there's a hurricane of the force that could knock that down in New York about once every 16 years. Buildings last a lot longer than 16 years. So he approached the architect, said, "Can I show you what I found out? Am I wrong about this?" And the architect was a big enough man to look at the numbers and say, "We've got to do something. You're absolutely right." So he took it back to the builders. They took it to the building's owners. And they said, we've got to do something. hurricane season is only 3 months away. And so for 3 months, every night when the workers would exit the building, teams of welders would go into the building, and at night, without panicking anybody, they welded 2-inch thick reinforcements on the key places of that structure where they calculated that it would fail. And it worked. And nobody knew about it for 20 years because it worked. Because somebody was big enough to take correction, even from a humble university student that hadn't even finished his schooling yet. A good student discovered it and saved so many lives. Now, when you go to school, whether you homeschool or whether you go to the public school or a private school, or what, especially if you go to university, you know, or take a course somewhere, do you know what you're doing when you pay to take a course? You are paying someone to correct you. When you go to school, you're paying to be corrected. Did you know that? And it's so important because that's how we grow. Bad math can be really dangerous, right? In fact, bad punctuation can be dangerous. I wish I'd made a slide of this. I wish I'd made a slide of this. I did not. But if I say, let's eat, kids, with a comma, right after let's eat, it's let's eat, comma, kids. That's who I'm addressing. But if I pull that single comma out of there, then I say, let's eat, kids. Okay? Punctuation is important. It could save your life. Are you ready to take correction? Hey, Elijah, are you ready to do our reading for us? Proverbs 9, 8 to 12. Have you got it there? And I'm going to give you a microphone. And let's see what this says about correction. I'm going to put it up on the screen, too. I don't know why it forwards three slides all at once. Could you go back to the verse, please, Michael, if you could get there? There it is. Here. I'll hold it unless you want to. Oh, there you go.
So do not bother correcting mockers. They will only hate you. But correct the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be even wiser. Teach the righteous, and they will learn even more. Fear of the Lord, the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. Wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life. If you become wise, you will be the one to benefit. If you scorn wisdom, you will be the one to suffer.
All right. Thank you. Well done. Well done. Thank you very much. Don't bother correcting mockers. They'll only hate you for it. But the wise value correction. Do you welcome correction? See, because here's the thing. Correction is not, I don't know why, can you go back to correction is not punishment? It's fast-forwarding slides every time I press the button. Correction is not punishment. Correction is not punishment. It's actually meant to help you. So can I make a suggestion? Adults and kids, can you all listen up? The next time someone corrects you, could you say thank you to them? Because they mean to help you. The next time someone corrects you, could you say thank you when you're corrected? I remember I had a teacher in both the sixth grade and the seventh grade. And because Mr. Dirksen started with us in sixth grade, and then he came with us to seventh grade. I had him for 2 years. He was one of my favorite teachers ever because he was, you know, all the lady teachers, nothing against lady teachers, they're wonderful. But lady teachers don't put pictures of semi-trucks up on their walls, okay? And Mr. Dirksen did. And I just thought it was cool to be in his classroom. And Mr. Dirksen taught me those 2 years. I really enjoyed him. And then I went to junior high. And one day, when school let out a little bit early from junior high, my friend and me walked home from school. And we walked past our old elementary school in Abbotsford. And we thought, let's go in and visit Mr. Dirksen. So we did, and it was nice to see him, and he was glad to see us, and I meant to make a joke, but you know I was young and I didn't know what I was saying, and so I joked with Mr. Dirksen, and I said, maybe I'll become a teacher when I grow up, because then all you have to do is yell at kids, Ugh. And I could see in the moment that I said that, that I'd hurt him. And I didn't realize it at the time, and I thought about it more later on, because I was so, so wrong. Mr. Dirksen, number one, he didn't yell at us. Sometimes he had to raise his voice to get over the, you know, the din of the classroom. But he didn't yell at us. He was one of the best teachers I ever had. He kindly told me when I had done something wrong, and he kindly helped me learn how to do something right. See, that's the thing. Correction is not punishment. And we have to be very careful to understand, because some of us are wired to not like correction. Maybe it's because you got punished. Maybe it's because you got whipped with someone's words. That's not correction. That's harsh criticism. Maybe you got stung by someone who was brutal and not gentle with their with what they hoped was their correction. That's not correction. Correction is loving and gentle. Correction sets us on the right path. It's not punishment. And as parents, we need to remember this. Correction is not punishment necessarily. The purpose of correction is this, so that we grow and learn. And there's a huge difference. There's a huge difference between someone blasting you because they're impatient and angry and fed up versus someone correcting you because they care about your life and they care about your future. Correction precedes punishment. Sometimes punishment is needed, but correction comes first. And there's so much more. There's so much more to correction than just math and English, by the way, commas and mathematical equations. In fact, God corrects us. Why? Why? Because he loves us. In Proverbs 3, it says, the Lord corrects those he loves. Now, we've learned that correction is not punishment. But the other thing is, correction is not, could you forward me one slide, Michael? Thank you. Correction is not rejection. Because sometimes we think that correction means that somebody is saying, you're a terrible person, I don't want you anymore. That's not correction. That's condemnation. That's not biblical correction. Correction is not rejection. Parents correct their children because they love us and they don't want us to get hurt. They don't want us to fail. They want us to succeed and do well. People who never correct others are actually not very loving, right? I mean, have you ever been in a situation in your life where you made some big mistakes and later you found out that somebody saw the mistake you were making and they didn't say anything and you think, why didn't you tell me? It would have been more loving if you'd have corrected me. I've been there, and I've known people who have said, and I have said to certain people in my life, and I hope there are people in your life that you have given explicit permission to say, look, if you see me headed in a destructive direction, I want you to tell me about it. Don't keep it to yourself. Help me out. In fact, people pay for that sometimes. They pay for coaches and teachers to help them with those kind of things. Correction is not rejection. In fact, it means that somebody really cares about you and they want to be close. Let's take a look at what the Bible says about correction not being rejection, but in fact, God's desire to be close to you. Jordan, are you ready? Come on up and read us the passage that you've got for us. I'd love to hear this. Okay. Revelation 3:19-20.
I am the one who corrects and disciplines everyone I love. Be diligent and turn from your indifference. Look, here I stand at the door and knock. If you hear me calling and open the door, I will come in and we'll share a meal as friends.
Thank you very much. Jordan, thanks for a good try. We really appreciate that. It is so tempting to think that correction means that somebody thinks you're terrible and they don't want you. But that's just not true. Parents correct us because they don't want us to get hurt. And God corrects us, and he sends people to correct us because, number one, God wants to save us from bad choices and bless us with better choices. But number two, here's what it says. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. He's talking about sharing a meal, sharing fellowship, sharing special time together. It's God saying, I want to be near you. I had a friend back in high school, and when I was one of my years in high school, I just got hooked on tuna sandwiches. They were my favorite lunch. love tuna sandwiches, but you know what a tuna sandwich does to your breath, right? So for many afternoons, I was walking into the afternoon having just consumed a tuna sandwich joyfully. And finally, one of my friend Sean, he said to me, "Chris, your mouthwash ain't cutting it." But I want to tell you that that correction was not rejection. It was proof that my friend cared about me. He said, I want to be able to be near you, okay? And I want you to be able to be near other people. Correction is not rejection. It's actually somebody inviting you to be closer in relationship. And correction is God's proof that he loves you. He corrects us so that he won't have to reject us. See, condemnation says you're terrible and have no hope. Correction says, I care for you, and here's what's hurting you, and here's a better path to follow. Correction says you can change. Condemnation gives you no hope for change at all. It just says you are stuck and you're hopeless. Forget you. But correction says you can change. The Bible says this in Isaiah 53, we all like sheep have gone astray, each one turning to his own way. Now, when the Bible describes us as sheep, sheep are not known for their brilliance. When God calls you his little lamb, it's not necessarily a compliment, okay? But here's the thing. Jesus was the Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world. Jesus was, just think about this, Jesus was rejected. When he was on the cross, he was rejected so that we could be accepted. Jesus was punished so that we could be saved. Jesus didn't need to be corrected. He did nothing wrong. He stepped up. He took our beating. He took our rejection for us. Jesus was punished and rejected so that we could be brought close to God. Do you see it? This is what God has done for you and me. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. He was righteous. He did nothing wrong. He died for the unrighteous, you and me, who have done everything wrong. Why did he do that? To bring you to God. My question is, have you received him into your life? Are you willing to receive Jesus? And are you willing to receive God's correction? I want to ask you, is God maybe speaking a word of correction to you this morning? And as you hear that, do you hear his love for you? Because that's where it's coming from. Correction comes from a place of love. How do you respond? Confess your sin. Say thank you for the correction. Open the door of your heart to him. Just like that passage in Revelation said, you know, I stand at the door and knock. And those verses are written to rebellious people. I stand at the door and knock. Open the door to me and let me in. And then ask him to help you. But I want to end with this. How about others? How do we respond to others? Correction is neither punishment nor is it rejection. So in terms of our response to other people who need correcting, our first place is not to punish and our first place is not to reject. We need to be so careful not to become complainers and critics because that's so easy to do. But if we love God and we love others, sometimes we need to lovingly correct. Here's a verse in Galatians 6:1. If someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. If someone is caught in a sin, not point out somebody's flaw because they're really, really bugging you, but if they're trapped and if they're hurting themselves, we do it for them. Correction is always about something for the other person. It's for them. I think I told this story here. Some of you may not have heard this. I was walking in the woods one day when I lived in Montana, and I was walking down by a riverbank. I like to go just to walk and enjoy the outdoors and pray down there sometimes. And I noticed something that I hadn't seen. Now, this was a stretch of river where a lot of fly fishermen would fish. And sometimes when people fly fish, they'll snag their hook, you know, their little fly hook, up in a tree and the leader breaks off, and it just, sometimes people just lose their hooks. And I was walking down this riverbank, and I spotted a bird. And a bird was flying around and around in circles. It was hilarious. It was so entertaining to see this little bird just zooming in circles, like he's going to the races, right? And as I got closer, I noticed, oh, he had a fly stuck in his beak, and he was stuck in somebody's leftover fly line, and he was stuck. Like, that string tied him to the tree. He was hooked by the beak and zooming in circles. It was like one of those little model airplanes, you know, that people fly. He was caught. He's caught. And so what I needed to do, it wasn't so high up that I couldn't reach him. I went over to him, and as he's making these loops, I tried to catch, got him. And then very gently, I brought him close to me. And very gently, I reached in and pulled. It was a barbed hook. And I tried to pull it out of its beak. And I had to pull fairly hard. It was on, you know, the soft spot on the beak. But the soft spot of a beak is still fairly thick skin. It's like leather. And I had to pry that hook out of him. I tried to be as gentle as I could, but it hurt him. But if I had left him there, he'd have died. And the Bible says we care about somebody who's caught in sin. You who are spiritual, that is not, you who are walking in the Spirit and not caught in that sin, restore him gently. Care enough to go and help pull that hook out of his beak. And the bird flew away to live another day, and I took the fly away with me. Now, what Elijah read to us earlier was, don't waste your time talking to people who aren't listening. You're just wasting your breath. But if someone is willing to even listen and try a little, help them. Gently, patiently, carefully, and giving them lots of encouragement when they even try, help them. Correction is not punishment. Correction is not rejection. But correction is a gift. And by the way, that will help you in receiving it, because when you receive correction, and I'm not talking about people gossiping about you and trashing you and beating you down with their words, that's not correction. But if someone corrects you, receive it as a gift, because it's good for you. And sometimes even when it hurts a bit, it's a gift. But it's also the way that we need to think about it as we give it to others. Is, am I giving this to bless them, or am I just doing it because I want to vent? Because that's not a gift. My venting and criticism and fault finding is not a gift. Correction can be. So we need to think about it in those terms. I'll end with this. Remember those scorpions I talked about? Some years back, I led my youth group, because I was leading a youth group at that time, led them down to on a mission trip into a place called Matamoros, Mexico. It was south of Brownsville, Texas. Super hot, muggy place. It was like 40 degrees or more during the day, and it would cool down to maybe 32 at night. And it was muggy all the time. And they had warned us, all the girls slept in one part of this kind of big warehouse building with a whole bunch of bunks. It kind of looked like an army barracks almost. It was just a whole bunch of bunks in a big room. And the guys slept on a different side of the building in a similar kind of arrangement, all these bunks too high, stretched out through this warehouse-looking building. And they warned us, and they said, look, keep your suitcases zipped up and off of the floor. Now, most of us did that because we figured that they knew what they were talking about. But there was one guy in particular. He was kind of he was a simpleton or a mocker. I don't know which one you might apply to him, but he's like, ah. And his clothes spilled out of his suitcase and onto his bed and onto the floor, and he left everything open all the time, and it was a mess. After 2 or 3 days, like, there was this mountain of stuff just coming out all around his bunk. One day I came back from working outside, and there was a couple of guys in the dormitory, and they were very excited. They said, you can't believe it. We just killed a scorpion. Little tiny thing about that big was one of those was kind of translucent yellow looking, big fat tail, little skinny pincers. It would hurt. And they said, you can't believe how fast they are. They zoom, and it was headed straight to go under that guy's pile of clothes. Well, they stomped it dead, and because that's what you do. And they spared him, and then they corrected him. And do you think that that night everybody got their suitcases, you know, zipped them up tight and put them under the bunks while we were in our bunks and put them up on our bunks when we were gone? Yes, we did. Those guys brought correction, and that correction was a gift that spared that guy so much pain. And that's God's purpose for it. So let me end with prayer, and then I'm going to invite our musicians to come and lead us in a closing song. Will you bow your heads and bow your hearts with me this morning? God, thank you that you love us. Thank you that correction is not punishment. You want to spare us punishment by correcting us. Thank you that correction is not rejection, but you correct us and you send others to correct us so that we can be in relationship with you. Thank you that your correction is a gift meant to bless us and protect us. God, as you speak words of correction to our hearts this morning, would you also hear the confessions and the prayers of those who are calling out to you? Guys, I'm having a hard time hearing myself pray because you're talking so much right there. Let's pray. Lord, would you speak to our hearts and our minds? If there is something that the Lord is speaking to your heart this morning, could I just invite you to speak back to him? Just respond to what he's saying to you. Maybe it is to make a confession. Maybe it is to ask for help. But if God is talking, respond and say something back. Hear our prayers, Lord. Thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Thank you for Jesus dying in our place on the cross so that we could receive your forgiveness rather than punishment, so that we could be brought close to you rather than rejected and condemned. Oh, Lord Jesus, be glorified in our lives, we pray. In your name, amen. Let's stand and sing together.